And we are so excited to be joined alongside WDOT alumni and the current broadcaster of the Binghamton Rebel Ponies, Matt Levine. Matt, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Yeah, guys, thanks so much for having me. Always happy to come back and speak to you guys.
Yeah, it's really great. I mean, you're someone we've kind of looked up to a little bit, you and Eisberg and all you guys. You guys have really forged a path for yourself so far, and it's awesome to see what you guys are doing. So my first question for you is obviously about the new job with the Rebel Ponies, which you just started. Can you kind of take us through the process of getting that job, and how is that going so far?
Yeah, of course. So I'll start with the second part. It's been absolutely phenomenal. Just such a good opportunity being in Double-A baseball for my childhood favorite team organization in the New York Mets. Basically, like, my dream is starting to become more of a reality every day that I'm here. I'm around some of the best players in the country. I keep saying the country just because I'm right out of college, but really the best players in baseball. And it's the talent level on the field. It's the talent level in other radio booths around the league, just picking people's brains all the time and learning so much on every day. And it's just been absolutely incredible to be around all that. But the process of it is a little interesting how it works. For me, I was still in college last baseball season, and I was looking at minor league jobs around College Park, Maryland, where I was in college. So you're looking at the Bowie Bay Sox, you're looking at the Aberdeen Ironbirds, other teams around there. And it was tough just still being in school. They really wanted somebody full-time, so none of that worked out. I ended up staying the rest of the season calling Maryland baseball games last year, took the summer off, started a job in media relations at Stony Brook, and from there, one thing kind of led to another when I started to look for minor league jobs for this season. And I got lucky that my broadcast partner now, who hired me for this job, he knew a bunch of guys at Stony Brook, because he does work at Binghamton University. They used to be in the same conference in the America East. And so they kind of all talked to each other. One thing led to another, and I ended up getting offered the spot. So very thankful, very humbled to be in this position, and just it's been a dream calling games every day so far.
As a Mets fan, I can totally understand what it's like. Not what it's like, but how crazy it must be for you, and I just want to backtrack a little bit. Can you kind of explain your evolution throughout Maryland to the point where you were able to call, I think, a no-hitter for Maryland, right?
Yeah, it was a perfect game. April 29th of last season, Maryland beat Northwestern 13-0. Ryan Ramsey threw a perfect game. It was that was pretty surreal also. That still hasn't hit me. But I'll start, I guess, all the way back. You know, I was doing the same things you guys are in high school, and I was very serious about play-by-play very early on. So when I was looking at colleges, that was a big thing for me, was like asking tour guides, you know, how early do students get to do play-by-play of games? And at Maryland, it was like there was no age restriction. It was kind of just, you know, get involved early and get the ball rolling. So that happened for me my first day of class, actually. I went up to the teacher's assistant, asked her how to get involved with the sports radio station. Turns out her best friend was the station director at the time. So I got his number, shot him a text, and he was like, hey, do you know anything about volleyball? We got a volleyball match on Saturday against Liberty. You know, we need somebody for it. Great. I just played volleyball for 6 years from seventh grade to my senior year of high school, so I think I know what I'm talking about. Little did I know, it was a lot harder to call the game than it was to play it. So that was still a great first opportunity for me. And I think the biggest thing was going into everything so seriously. Like, I treated that like it was the Super Bowl, and I wanted to prep the most that I ever did. I wanted to, you know, have the most energy I ever did. Just bring so much to the table so that it could potentially lead to other things. And I ended up calling men's soccer games, and then I went up to, you know, they put me at wrestling in the winter of my freshman year. And basically the station directors are seniors too, so I became kind of friendly with them throughout the time. You know, they mentor you a little bit. And eventually I started doing women's basketball games that year. And at Maryland, that's obviously a big sport to call, top 25 matchups every game pretty much. And so that's really where I felt like I was in a good spot. And it just kept moving up, kept doing different games. My sophomore year, I started doing football games and calling Big Ten football. Again, every day is like you got chills. Like this is the child of the fan in me coming out. But there was such good opportunities there. And I started doing men's basketball games there. But really where it started to take off was doing stuff with the Maryland Baseball Network, which is what Eisenberg created back in 2016.
Wow.
When he was still at Maryland in college. Him, Matt Present, and Matt Vitas. Matt Present's now the voice of Appalachian State men's basketball. He spent time in the minors. And John Vitas, he's the play-by-play voice of the Fort Myers Mighty Muscles, the low-A team for the Rays, or the Twins, rather. But the three of them created this, and it's been the flagship station of the Maryland baseball team ever since. Students get the chance to travel with the team. It's basically like a minor league job when you're 19, 20 years old in college. And I was fortunate enough to be with such a young staff at Maryland, a head coach who's 34, assistant coaches in their late 20s. I mean, just such youthful, great minds of the game that want somebody who's hungry and young and in college and fresh and ready to go on their trips. And so last year for me, that was such a big thing. But I took over as the director of broadcasting there my junior year. One of my buddies who was ahead of me, he graduated early. So I got an extra season out of it, which was phenomenal. So thanks to him for leaving early. But I got to call two regionals. We hosted a regional last year. Traveled to East Carolina University, Baylor, Dallas Baptist, Rutgers. And the coolest of them all was going to the Big Ten tournament in Omaha, Nebraska, where the College World Series is played. And even when you're playing there with maybe a couple hundred people, obviously not a full stadium, for the Big Ten tournament, but I mean that was just incredible to watch and incredible to be around. Such a cool atmosphere. So I got a lot of opportunities there just right away, just being hungry, talking to different people, how do I get involved basically? And it just snowballs. If you do a good job, people are gonna give you more opportunities, and that's something Mr. Klaff taught me too, so I'll give him credit there.
Oh, there you go. So that's pretty surreal, your journey at Maryland. I mean, you sounds like you did a lot of different sports, and obviously building up towards the baseball at the end of the season, and look where you got. And then as a broadcaster, like with those skills in itself, what would you say some of the adjustments you made between like high school and college to kind of improve your skills? And I'm sure it's very different, you know, calling college games versus high school games where you might know a lot of the kids as classmates. Like what are some of the differences in terms of your preparation and when you're actually on the mic?
That's a good question. I think you mentioned preparation. I think that's the biggest difference is, you know, I was calling every high school basketball game for the boys basketball team for my senior year. And yeah, I went on the bus with the team and everything, but I'm looking at a sheet of paper that says the roster basically. Like there's no information pretty much more than that. That I'm going to find. And obviously, like, I didn't even know at the time when you get to a Big Ten school how much information there is on every athlete and every athlete that they play. And so very, very thankful to the media relations staff that I dealt with in college. So phenomenal with their time and, you know, helping us with information and preparation for these games. But I think that was the biggest thing, was realizing how much prep has to go into every game. For me, especially football, that was the most. I would prep like a couple weeks in advance for that, getting your charts ready, getting all the stuff you want to talk about ready, and just following storylines of teams and things. Like even as simple as like following their Twitters and Instagrams and looking at what they have there, that can help you on the air as well. But I think just the adjustment to realize how much information is out there, and then find how I wanted to prep for each game. And the way I prepped when I was 18 doing volleyball games at Maryland and the way I prep now, still different. Like I'm adjusting that every year. I guess that just comes with time and maturity. And then also just being on the mic was a confidence thing. Like if I go back and listen to my high school games, I probably lacked some confidence there. Didn't really know what I was doing, just kind of getting my feet wet. But now you have to go into this like it's a performance. And even if you're tricking somebody who's listening, you got to pretend or at least have the confidence to think you know what you're doing and to think that you know you belong there. So that was a big thing for me, was finding that confidence in college to know that I should be doing this.
Right. I mean, I think I find that as me and Mikey get older, we kind of start prepping more, but we don't have all the resources available, as you were saying, you had at Maryland. But my question for you is, you know, what advice do you have for kids like Mikey and I who want to go into a similar career field that you are in?
Well, I think it starts obviously where you guys are now. You guys are off to a phenomenal start. Friday morning sports show. Just being disciplined enough to wake up early on a Friday when most kids are getting to school late, and you guys are doing this radio show, and that in itself, you're already off to a great start. But when you get to school, go, whether that's in your class like I did, to my teacher's assistant, go to your professors, whoever runs the sports side of anything journalism, communications related, and just explain what you did in high school. Everybody's going to be open to that, because 95% of kids around the country don't even have the opportunities to do that in high school. So you're already ahead. And just be trying to talk to everybody, and don't really treat it as like a network thing, like, oh, I'm going to use this person to get here or whatever. Keep those relationships and don't burn bridges. That was a big thing I was taught by one of my professors, because you never know who can help you, when they can help you. You know, I could be 5 years later and I'm in another city somewhere and I know somebody that I met once in college. Like, just things like that happen so often, and the higher you go in this industry, I've noticed, the smaller it gets. And when I say the smaller it gets, I mean like the closer knit people are. Everybody knows everybody, and just be able to make those relationships early on. People are going to want to help you, and do everything like it's the best and last game of your life, pretty much. At times, it was obviously a struggle for me to be okay with, like, yeah, no offense to Maryland volleyball, love doing those games, but, like, I don't want to be doing those games. I want to be calling football games. And it's just paying your dues, and if you are okay with that, you'll have to do less of it, and you'll be able to move up much faster. So, prep your tail off, be able to do those games as best as you can, and just be in the moment, happy to do it, and always be available is another thing. You know, there was always times where people would fail on a game, even the day of, like the morning of, they're like, oh, I can't make it, for whatever reason, it's college, you know, there's a million different reasons why. Always be the first person that's going to say, yeah, I'm going to do that game, I'm going to replace. Because the next time that they need a fill-in, they're not even going to ask everybody. They'll just ask you yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how that happened for me, too. To get way more opportunities was just to be available and be reliable, and people will come and ask you to do it.
Yeah, Matt, thank you so much for that advice. I think that truly speaks to me and David, like, kind of being prepared and being ready for any situation. It sounded like you were pretty much ready for any sport, and then ultimately you got up to the big sports like basketball and baseball. So we just want to thank you so much for your time this morning, and also
for
like everything you've done for WDOT. Like, you guys are all inspirations for us and like the next generation of port broadcasters. I just want to say thank you, and good luck with all your future this season. I've been following your Twitter and listening to some of your calls, so it's really great to see.
I appreciate you guys for having me and for the kind words, being an inspiration. But at the end of the day, it's all Mr. Clapp and what he's been able to do for all of us. And I still keep in touch with him all the time. The opportunities there are phenomenal. And none of us would be able to do what we do without what he does for us. So keep him in your corner as much as you can.
100%.
Shout out Clapp. Thank you, Matt.